Quit now.
Oy, oy, oy. They call me that quitter.
Quit in my way into your heart.
Soaring through nature's finest show. Denali, the great one, soaring under the midnight sun. And then the extremes. In the wintertime, it's the frozen road that is competing with the view of ice-fogged, frigid beauty. The cold, though, doesn't it split the chechakos from the sourdoughs? And then in the summertime, with fireweed blooming along the frost heaves and merciless rivers that are rushing and carving and reminding us that here, Mother Nature wins. It is, as throughout all Alaska, that big, wild, good life teeming along the road that is north to the future. That's what we get to see.
No,
oh, no! Everybody quit now.
Oi, 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 they call me the quitter.
Quit in my way to your heart.
Thank you, United States military, for protecting the greatest nation on earth. Together we stand.
On the war from Barack Gaither the military-industrial complex, they reach around by ramping up the war against brown people. 3 days after being given the keys to the White House, this triggered Happy Son of a Bitch order an attack inside Pakistan, killing 18 peeps. Obama will also double troop levels in Afghanistan, a country that historically has been a major pain in the ass to its occupying armies.
This is Afghanistan. Alexander the Great tried to conquer this country. Then Genghis Khan, then the British. Now Russia. But Afghan people fight hard, they never be defeated.
About 67 coalition soldiers were killed in July of this year, making it the worst month for the occupying forces yet. To get your vote, Obama told you he would pull troops out of Iraq. But so far, more than 130,000 still remain there, and permanent bases are part of the plan. But Obama's stinkiest foreign policy anal discharge to date has been his handling of the coup in Honduras. Barack has ignored this assault on democracy, and once again has shown that he's not really down with the brown. Now imagine what would have happened if the ousted president of Honduras would have been a US-friendly dictator.
Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
That was a look back at recent history, and you are now going to listen to This Week in Radical History for the week starting August 3rd.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
Inspiration for this radio segment came from the Slingshot Organizer calendar, and more radical info can be found at the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. This week in radical history for August 3rd, three items, 1906. 12 unidentified black soldiers make a shooting sortie into Brownsville, Texas, killing one citizen. President Teddy Roosevelt stating that since no one would confess, all would have to suffer, gives dishonorable discharges to every black in Brownsville camp, including three Medal of Honor winners. Also on August 3rd, 1913, four die in what is called the Wetland Riots, when police fire into a crowd of California farm workers trying to organize for better working conditions. Two labor leaders, one not even present at this day, are later convicted for murder and encouraging workers to organize, which, by the legal logic of the time, apparently forced officials to shoot and kill. Conditions on the farms were terrible, with no water in fields, and workers suffered from diphtheria, malaria, and typhoid fever. How dare they try to organize against that? Lastly and sadly, in 1945, two young black women are raped by uniformed police officers in Memphis, Tennessee. As reported in the San Francisco Herald on this date, August 4th, 1869, San Francisco land speculator Emperor Norton I declares the United States dissolved, and the greatest and wise ruler of the United States abolishes both Democratic and Republican parties. He's quoted in the paper as saying, "Party strife now exists within the realm. I do hereby dissolve and abolish Democratic and Republican parties, and also do hereby decree the disfranchisement and imprisonment for not more than 10 years and no less than 5 years to all persons leading to any violation of this your imperial decree. In other empire news, in 1925 on this date, U.S. Marines leave Nicaragua after 13 years of occupation. Don't worry, they'll be back again and again. Also on August 4, 1944, Netherlands, Nazi police in Amsterdam, acting on an informant's tip, discover Anne Frank and the family in hiding. The 8 lived in a single secret room for 728 days, then were sent to the notorious Belsen concentration camp where they were killed except the father. He returned to the house after the war and found Anne's diary. Began at age 12, he recorded the feelings and thoughts, pressures and fears, while coming to age during 2 years of hiding from death. Translated in over 30 languages is a symbol of strength and how brutal humans can be to other humans. People, the time has
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Jackie Cook. On this day, August 4th, in 1964, the bodies of American civil rights activists James Chaney, Michael Schwerner, and Andrew Goodman were found in the Mississippi River after disappearing 2 months earlier. The three young activists had traveled together to Mississippi to register black voters and investigate the bombing of a black church. After being arrested for supposed speeding, they were released onto a dark, remote road and greeted by carloads of Ku Klux Klan members. The Klansmen shot the two Jewish New Yorkers, Schwerner and Goodman. But Chaney, a black Mississippi native, was brutally beaten with chains and mutilated before being shot. The killings received massive media attention and ignited public sympathy. But civil rights activists criticized the publicity, stating that had two of the victims not been white, the case would have been largely ignored. Can you think of any other cases like this? Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Lastly, on August 4th, 1988, Congress votes 20,000 each Japanese Americans in turn during World War II. This week in Radical History for August 5th, 1498. What? No kangaroos? Columbus is the first recent European to land in South America continent, and he thinks he landed in Australia. Speaking of colonization in the New World in this date in 1620, the Mayflower and Speedwell sail away and also do not find Australia. Unfortunately if you're Native American, they find them instead. Also on August 5th, 1892, Harry Tubman gets a pension from Congress for her work as a nurse, spy, and scout during the Civil War. She, along with Sojourn Truth and Susie King, and almost 200 other African-American women, served as nurses during the war in 11 hospitals in over 3 states. Also on August 5, 1936, James Colton, who married anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman in 1925 to provide her with British citizenship, dies of cancer. Colton, an elderly anarchist from Wales, married Emma so she'd be free from the problems of traveling and giving lectures. Also on this date in 1964, U.S. begins bombing of North Vietnam to protect American interests, of course.
The U.S. government has done some bad things over the years and will almost certainly continue to do them in the years ahead. Foreign policy has very little to do with morality. And as long as any action can be justified by explaining that it was performed in the national interest, that will continue to be the case.
Also on August 5, 1990, Bush sends U.S. Marines into Liberia to protect American interests.
And so we give support to repressive governments in South Korea and Brazil and Chile because it is in our national interest to do so. We will supply sophisticated weapons to backward countries and betray an entire people like the Kurds, all because it is in our national interest. The myth is that since the First World War, we were ever able to conduct our foreign policy any other way. And at best it is naive, at worst hypocritical, that they don't understand what's involved in that harsh reality.
This week in Radical History for August 6th, 1855, Bloody Monday riots. A Louisville, Kentucky mob pulling a brass cannon attacks Irish Quarter, burning down houses and killing at least 20, the Irish being the Mexicans of our day. Also on August 6th, 1890, on Good Friday, of course, the first electric chair execution in the United States happens in Auburn Prison in New York. It was a gruesome execution. It had to be done over and over again. And no, he did not rise in 3 days. Also on August 6, 1927, Massachusetts High Court hears final plea for those anarchist bastards, Sutko and Vizzetti. Protest bombs hit homes of Baltimore mayor and Boston mayor. Their controversial trial attracted numerous international attention, with critics accusing the prosecution and presiding judge of improper conduct, like calling them those anarchist bastards, and allowing of anti-Italian, anti-immigrant, and anti-anarchist sentiment to prejudice the jury. prominent Americans such as Upton Sinclair publicly sided with the citizen-led opposition to the verdict. The two executed elicited mass protests in New York, London, Amsterdam, Tokyo. Workers walked out across South America, and riots in Paris, Geneva, and Germany, as well as Johannesburg, occurred. Also on August 6, 1945, U.S. drops atomic bomb on a civilian population of Hiroshima, the U.S. being the only country to use this massive type of WMD. Destroying homes of almost 400,000 people, the bomb explodes in the air and destroys more than two-thirds of the city's buildings. About half the population is burned in ruins, burned to death by the explosive heat or consumed by fire. Thousands of survivors develop radiation sickness, and in 1 month, hundreds more would die in makeshift hospitals and other weakened buildings crumble around them. There is no practical reason to drop the bomb. It did nothing to shorten the war, and Japan was already trying to negotiate peace with the United States. The United States is simply determined to show Russia who was calling a tune in the post-World War. Also on August 6, 1957, 11 activists from the Committee of Nonviolence Action arrested at Atomic Test Proving Grounds in Nevada, the first of what eventually become thousands arrested in Nevada test site and hundreds of thousands around the world. Also on that date, 1967, Indian Claims Commission awards $12.2 million to 8 Lakota tribes for 29 million acres, most of them in the Upper Great Plains, taken by fraudulent treaties. Also on that date, 1985, USSR begins unilateral moratorium on nuclear testing. U.S. responds by conducting more underground nuclear tests. Then in 1989, U.S. expressed moral outrage at India and Pakistan for similar testing. Also on August 6, 1988, Tompkins Square Park police riot in New York. A videotape of the police riot got five cops indicted, the chief retired, the captain moved out of the 9th precinct, and more cops were disciplined and some fired. Lastly on this date, in 1990, U.N. Security Council imposed economic sanctions in Iraq. Total deaths of children under age 5 from the cause of sanctions from 1990 to November 1999 was 502,495 deaths of children. This week in Radical History for August 7th, 1854. Rumor that all Catholic churches were arsenals brings a mob of axe-wielding Protestants to St. Louis House of Worship. 8 Irish were butchered like cattle and 30 more seriously wounded, the Irish being the Mexicans of our day. Also on August 7, 1960, Fidel Castro announces plans to nationalize all American holdings. U.S. and the Mafia, which controlled the economy, fights back. And U.S. government takes the moral high ground and begins a nonstop campaign to assassinate Fidel Castro. Also on this date, 1967, Gulf of Tonkin resolution in response to a falsely reported of attacks U.S. destroyer passes the House 416-0 and the Senate 88-2. Giving LGB extraordinary powers, authorizing him to use all necessary steps to win the war in Vietnam. Only two legislatures, Morris and Running, vote against it, with no opposition in the House. Then the FBI begins collecting the names of supporters of Morris, and his office phone lines are tapped. Same war, different year. Also on that date, 1978, the Love Canal subdivision, Niagara Falls, New York, built on a site of former Harker Chemical Company chemical dump, formally declared a toxic disaster area by President Carter. Also on this date, 1979, highly enriched uranium released from a top-secret nuclear fuel plant near Irwin, Tennessee. About 1,000 people are contaminated with up to 5 times as much radiation they would normally receive in any given year. Lastly, for August 7, 1995, due to international pressure, state of Pennsylvania announces the stay of its planned August 17th execution of political prisoner Mumia Ojemil. U.S. officials have vowed to silence Mumia at all costs and take extraordinary actions to do so. NPR buckles under the pressure from the right wing. Temple University in Philadelphia, owners of 7 Pennsylvania radio stations, also buckles under pressure, refuses to air tapes in defense of him, cancels contract with Pacifica Network. Free press? Yeah. This week in Radical History for August 8th, 1449. Portuguese slaver Henry the Navigator unloads 6 ship of human cargo slaves from Africa. He proclaims it is the, quote, salvation, unquote, of their souls. Also on August 8th, 1879, Mexico. Revolutionary hero, anarchist Emilio Zapata lives. He'll inspire the Zapatista movement. Zapata will continue to live as long as the people believe that they have the right to their own lands and the right to govern themselves according to their own deeply held beliefs and cultural values. Also on August 8, 1925, a huge KKK rally held in Washington, D.C. The modern-day KKK, known as skinheads, with all the right-wing anti-immigrant sentiment, skinheads are increasing in numbers around the United States and the world. Also on this date, 1942, India National Congress passes Quit India Resolution, leading to mass arrests by their British masters. Two more items for August 8, 1974. Tricky Dick Nixon, no longer claiming he is a crook, announces he'll resign. Said, I am not a quitter. Then he quits. Also claimed during the Vietnam War to be a pacifist. Guess he got that one wrong, too. Also on that date, 1980, Reagan aide William Casey leaves on a second trip to bribe Iranians to delay the release of U.S. hostage until Reagan takes office. Only got a couple items this week in Radical History for August 9th. 1779, General Clinton and 1,500 American troops break dam and flood the Iroquois towns and fields in upstate New York. Troops then burn and ravage settlement for 12 days. Also on that date, 1945, America Fat Boy dropped on Nagasaki. About 70,000 more civilians die immediately. Truman drops the bomb to prove to Russia that he's tough and gets the Cold War arms race off to an unhealthy start. Also on August 6, 1966, 200 sit-in in New York City's offices of Dow Chemical Company to protest the use of napalm in Vietnam. Edward Abbey would say, "A patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government." Lastly, for August 9, 1997, New York City cops rape and torture Abner Louima, a legal immigrant from Haiti, sodomize him with a plunger. New York cops always practice their own unique form of justice.
Albert! Woo! Bobby! Woo! For God's sake, burn it down!
Produced out of the mobile fortress of Glee Glee Studios, this has been This Week in Radical History. Some audio has been borrowed from the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York, a Snigglet on Palin produced the always entertaining Scooter, and more info came from the Submedia Guy. Thanks for tuning in to this week's show. We leave you now with Chumbawamba, Give the Anarchist a Cigarette. Light your own flames, my comrades. Lastly, a reminder that I'm always and forever yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
You know I hate every pop star that I ever met.
If he gets up, we'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.